a bear's been in, it is unbelievable the damage.
Yes.
And you said crop circles. Because the bear will just, he'll just sit there and he'll just rake in the corn, you know, as far as he can reach. And then he'll go move 2 feet and rake in the rest of it.
Exactly.
Know.
Bears, they are...
lazy.
Yeah, well, that's one term.
Okay.
I prefer they're very particular with their energy expenditure.
Lazy. Okay. But, yeah, and they do a significant amount of damage. So maybe you don't know this. What is a typical reimbursement for a corn crop type of thing?
It's not a whole lot, to be honest with you, Alan. You know, it's that fund, it's not like – other funding sources.
Right.
It's completely funded by donations. So when a hunter signs up for the bear lottery, they get prompted to see if they want to donate
to
this, that fund.
Right.
And that fund, it's relatively small. You know, it's a couple grand at most.
Right.
So it's pennies on the dollar.
Are they still doing the bear stamps? Do you still have a bear stamp program?
No.
You can buy the bear stamps?
So you can, you know, quote unquote, still buy one, but we haven't had a competition in a number of years. Earlier, before my time with the DNR,
I think I judged the last one.
Yeah, I believe the last one was 2019, 2018, somewhere
that
around
that.
About
right.
It was right before COVID pandemic.
Yep.
But yeah, we've had this permit in one way, shape, or form, but we've changed it in a way that ag producers can now use it for a two-week period from mid-August through the end of the year.
Right.
As opposed to, it used to be only used during the bear season.
Right.
So it was a relatively short period.
6 days, yeah.
Exactly. And that's only in recent years that was 6 days.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Before, it
Monday
was only
through
you know, Monday through Friday.
Right,
and even before that, Monday through Thursday, we've been continuously making it longer.
And if you hit the number, then it was even shorter period of time.
Right.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, so we've been hearing really good response feedback from the farmers. You know, they like having that opportunity to actually, you know, have an impact on, you know, the bear that's causing that damage, because they can cause a significant amount of damage and financial hardship to these ag producers.
We have a number of stories about deer damage or bear damage permits or some very big bears being taken during that time. One of the fellows from the shore has a bear in the record book that was the oldest bear ever recorded.
Yes.
And another fellow this year killed one 330 pounds. And I think he might have called you about
he did.
Where's my rank, you know?
He did.
Yeah, and there were 16 killed on crop damage and 125
killed during the regular season.
That's a pretty good number, 125.
Yeah, and we still have a couple of active ag permits out right now. So
until the when?
December 31st is the last
date. That's it. Okay.
Yeah. Most of those permits, they run for a two-week period earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Most of them will be done by this point.
Right.
Because, you know, the goal is to, you know, remove the bear that's actually causing the damage.
Yeah.
What's the point of removing bear after it's already caused the damage?
I got that. I understand that. Yeah, but I mean, what time of year do the bears typically start to hibernating? Garrett County.
So mid November, late November is typically when the sows start to den up. Sows with cubs and sows that are going to be giving birth to cubs.
Right.
So most of the time in December, it's mostly males that are still active.
Right.
And if there's food available and that's easy enough to get to, they'll stay active for a longer period of time.
Got it. All right. Hey, it's time for me to take our first commercial break and tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop. Well, if you're looking for a great rifle, I'm going to recommend one from Clyde Sports Shop, the X-Bolt Hunter from Browning. Now, Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer, and the X-Bolt, been around for a while. It was a predecessor, or the predecessor was the A-Bolt, which I have a 300 mag, which I've shot my Maryland bear with, as a matter of fact. But if you want a fancy one, get the Medallion. That's got the rosewood caps on the grip and on the forend. But the X-Bolt Hunter, that's the one you want to take in the woods. It's got a nice satin walnut finish stock. It doesn't reflect. It's got a matte blue barrel, detachable rotary magazine, a short throw bolt, and an adjustable trigger. And it's just a typical good-looking big game rifle. Put your best optics on it, and you'll be just fine with that X-Bolt Hunter. And the X-Bolt comes in all different styles and colors and camos and Cerakotes and all that stuff. So you can see all the X-Bolts at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. And you could call it Hailthorpe, too, if you wanted. They've been around since 1957, been a full-line Browning dealer since the 60s, so they've got them all, rifles, shotguns, handguns. Why not stop by or give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108, area code 410. They're open 7 days a week for firearms, licenses, ammunition, scope mounting, and they have the scopes, too, and accessories. It's Clyde's Sport Shop. You'll be glad you did. Now, I stopped by Backyard Billy's recently. Backyard Billy. Man, that place is something else. I've got the sheet for all the November specials on it. It's two sides. You can see that, John. And look at that old special.
That's impressive.
Indeed. And that's all on the structures, on the furniture. There's money off on sheds and swing sets and playhouses and the gazebos and pergolas I'm always talking about. There's money off on all the casual furniture, the poly furniture. Why not stop by before the end of November and get your best deal right there at Backyard Billy's? And don't forget, they are your full line hearth and fireplace dealer for pellet, gas, electric, and even wood inserts and freestanding wooden pellet stoves, and even sell the pellets too. Backyard Billy's, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, 410-827-4500, 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44B, coming from the bridge. The exit is Evans Avenue. Your backyard is going to look great, and if you're looking for something to heat your home, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. We'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB-2722, MadonnaSeafood.com. Argo extreme terrain vehicles are what hunters and anglers think when it comes to navigating the toughest terrain. Shanks Argo in Chambersburg is the Mid-Atlantic's premier Argo XTV dealer. From the marshes of the Delmarva to the mountains of Western Maryland, Argo provides extreme terrain performance for getting you there and getting you back. The Argo family of extreme terrain vehicles covers a full range of models for every recreational and professional requirement. Visit Shanks Argo to choose the vehicle series and model that best suits your extreme conditions. The Magnum Side-by-Side, the Frontier 6x6 and 8x8, the Aurora Huntmaster 8x8, and the Frontier Scout 6x6. You can test drive these in-stock Argos at Shanks Argo, 4900 Molly Pitcher Highway in Chambersburg, PA. 717-375-1025. That's 717-375-1025, or visit shanksargo.com. Argo, the world standard for amphibious off-road mobility at Shanks Argo.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truck Liners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. And MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number is 410-455-0800. 455-0800. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment today to get your MilSpec liner installed.
Dorchester County is the beating heart of Sika deer hunting in Maryland. In Cambridge, hunters will find a real treasure for outfitting their Sika and whitetail deer properties, Chesapeake Seed and Feed. First of all, Chesapeake Seed and Feed stocks deer corn by the bag or the pallet, deer supplements featuring Tecumseh products, and all the seed for the finest food plots. Chesapeake Seed and Feed carries 12-point hunting blinds, HB feeders in stock with capacities up to 1,000 pounds of corn, Capsule brand Lifetime feeders, Moultrie feeders and accessories, apple cracker blocks, all that with supplies and food for pets, wild birds, farm, lawn, and garden. For deer corn, hunting blinds, deer feeders, and apple cracker deer feed, stop by Chesapeake Seed and Feed. 10-1 Cedar Street in Cambridge, Maryland. Call 410-228-4392. That's 410-228-4392. And the website, ChesapeakeSeedandFeed.com.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Put me on a mountain, way back in the backwoods. Put me on a lake with a biggin' on the line. Put me around a campfire, cooking something I just cleaned. You do your thing, I'll do mine.
Hey, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And hey, you know, Spurry's Tire Service. It's located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50, right there in Easton. That's where the locals get their tires and their auto service work done. Harvest season's about over, so the farm jobs are about over. But, you know, good old Spurry's, they take care of your car with American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires. And if you need anything else, they got them or can get them. Spurry's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, any make, any model. Spurry's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard to your barnyard, garden tractors to farm tractors and all the farm machinery. If you own a trailer or an ATV, Spurry's has the tires. Spurry's offers tire repair and full-service automotive repair. They'll check, they'll diagnose and repair your vehicle when that check engine light comes on. They do oil changes and brakes and everything else. Their 24-hour truck service and more has kept Spurry's customers, including Robin and me and our family, satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires or give Spurry's Tire Service in Easton a call. That number 410-822-7384. They do inspections too. Visit their website, spurrystire.com, 410-822. No appointment needed for tires, 410-822-7384 for Spurry's Tire Service. I want to thank Steve Dreppard for helping us out with recording this show. Drepp has been here since the studio since February and does a great job helping me produce commercials, and now we're doing it. I think this is our first show with Drepp as far as recording it. So, you know, we mourn the loss of Ira, who has done this for many, many years. And, you know, Brian and I got to know Ira through the years, so Ira Siegel. So, anyway, thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family.
He will be missed.
He will be missed. Now, that new voice you just heard was Brian Eiler. Brian, your title, please.
Good morning. I'm now the associate director for our game program. Was a deer program leader for a lot of years. Most of the years I spent talking to you, but
that's
so I supervise that program.
Now they kick you upstairs.
Yep, a lot of more paperwork.
I hear you.
Not upstairs, but a lot more paperwork regardless.
Same desk, same pay, just more paperwork.
Yeah, pretty much.
A little more pay, maybe. Anyway, all right, so your deer numbers came out recently. About the early season, the early muzzleloader, and also the bow season, and I think I've remembered 20 up, 20 some percent.
Yeah, we had a good early season, as we call it. Yeah, I'm reporting on the deer numbers because we don't actually have a deer program leader right now. We have a new one starting on November 27th.
So we're going to meet in.
Yeah, we're going to have new meet in, so that's good. So, but
that's cool.
Yeah, so but yeah, we had a good early season. We were up about 24%. We killed over 20,000 up through from the Friday after Labor Day until the end of October, basically.
Yeah. So, I mentioned earlier this we're recording this on the 6th. What day is today? Does anybody know?
14th.
Okay. Yeah. And we got, I said the 16th earlier. It's 14th. It's Thursday, I think. I can't remember anymore. But a couple days, we got the youth season coming up.
Yep.
And the youngsters are probably going to have a real good day out there. The weather looks pretty good. Bucks are running. Does are running from the bucks. Bucks are chasing the does. And it's always been a good hunt for the youngsters. You know?
Yeah. When we created that junior hunt, we purposely picked early November for that reason because, you know, it is a good time of year as far as the rut and deer chasing. And this year it's actually a little bit late.
Yeah.
We always set that season to be 2 weeks before the regular gun season or firearm season. So when it's late, the junior hunt's late. So,
yeah.
But you're right. I'm still seeing a lot of chasing and a lot of, you know.
I think the rut's a little late this year,
honest with you. Yeah, it seems like it. You know, we had that warm stretch. I don't know if that played into it maybe or not. But yeah, it should be a good weekend. I think it's low 60s and dry. And,
yeah.
So hopefully the –
hear them coming in the woods.
Yep. Hopefully the kids will have some fun. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I've been fooled a couple times this year. The leaves just finally fell after early muzzleloader season. I mean, they fell hard where I hunt, and I'll be sitting there and I'm turning around, look, I'm going, where are they? Damn squirrel.
Biggest squirrel you ever heard.
Biggest squirrel I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Been there, done that.
I'll show you some pictures. Yep. I think we've had seven of them on the on the camera at one time, and raccoons, six, seven at night. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know even why I put the camera out.
Corn bandits
is right. They're fat, too, man. Yep. They're fat.
Yeah. So. Eating well.
They're very much so. So we had some good numbers. You're looking forward to a good firearm season. What is the overall deer population you guys estimate right now?
We're still right around that 225,000, 230,000 mark. We've been there for a long time. You know, our hunters do a great job, but honestly, that's what limits us to a certain degree is the number of hunters we have and the access to land. That's the two big – that's the keys to managing deer.
That's right.
And our hunter numbers really dropped, you know, from the peak in the late 60s, early 70s, but they've been stable over the last decade or, you know, two.
Right.
And, you know, and we have really liberal bag limits and we have long seasons and we encourage the harvest of antlerless deer, but you can only take so many deer, you know.
That's true.
The population, it's too high in some areas.
Just right
in some areas. Yeah, it just depends on where you're at. So,
well, you guys put out a Q&A FAQ or whatever you want to call it on EHD, epizootic hemorrhagic disease, or shortened to hemorrhagic disease. A disease that's spread by the bite of a no-see-em gnat. We published it in Maryland Hunting Quarterly. Anybody can go online, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, and read the whole thing. Press release and your FAQ are there. How are we doing with that this year? I mean, certain areas, like last year we did lower eastern shore, some in the mid-shore. Year before that, it was all mid-shore. Now I'm seeing reports of western Maryland.
Yeah, so the most of the reports are coming from Frederick Carroll County. Frederick County is definitely getting hit hard. You know, we're still getting reports from farmers finding large groups of deer dead in fields when they're harvesting. The thing with HD is it normally doesn't hit the same spot every year. No, it's might hit hard one area, like on the lower shore a year or two back, and now it's hitting hard kind of that far eastern, western part of the state, central region.
I know southern Maryland had a pretty hard hit about 5 years ago.
Yeah, this year, like I said, you know, it's primarily right in that Frederick Carroll County, but we've gotten reports across a large percentage of the state this year, but only confirmed cases in that Frederick Carroll County area.
Right. Well, that wet spring, dry summer is what sends to push those numbers up, I believe. Is that pretty much in general?
So in general, no. There's been some research that's found some correlation between wet springs that then dry summers. Yeah. Basically, it creates a lot of mud flats, areas for that midge to breed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, it's hot. Deer go to the only source of water, so it congregates.
Deer. Yeah, that congregates.
So there's evidence.
It's not spread deer to deer. People think that it's spread deer to deer or something like that, and they say, oh, well, you know, if I shoot a deer that survived this, is it safe to eat? You know, you'll see the sloughed off hooves and maybe the swollen face or something like that.
Yeah, they're perfectly fine to eat. You know, by the time a hunter harvests that deer, that deer's already gone through the whole process of combating that virus.
Yep.
And you're just seeing the residual side effects.
Yep.
But they're perfectly fine to eat. Most of the time when the disease kills a deer, it's pretty rapid. It's within a few days. You know, their temperature spikes, they get really, really hot, and then
their organs start to break down.
Exactly.
You know, it's hemorrhagic disease because their organs all start to bleed.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. It's not a pleasant way to go.
It's not.
No, it's kind of like Ebola, you know.
I guess you're right.
Is what it is.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's a hemorrhagic disease as well. So
interesting comparison.
Yeah, the reason you see those patterns, you know, it just hitting hard in one area and another, it goes back to those survivors. So there's a certain percentage of the population that is resistant and survives, but there's a proportion that's not, and you know, and it kills. Well, that proportion that isn't resistant builds up over time, and then the disease comes in, takes them out.
I got it.
Leaves the ones that are resistant, and then it takes a while for that to build back up again.
Okay.
Over time, you would think if Mother Nature works the way you typically would think she'd work, you'll see less, you know, in the mortality in some of these areas. We haven't seen that yet, but it really hit Frederick. Looking at the numbers, it really hit Frederick hard this year, but it didn't affect the harvest. A lot of times it will actually impact the harvest.
Yeah, I know it did in Southern America.
But the early season in Frederick was still, the numbers were still good. So it might drop off now as we move on, but the early numbers, there were still deer out there in the early season.
While we're talking about deer diseases, who wants to step up to the plate and dispel the myth of zombie deer?
Go ahead, John.
Jonathan, I think you've been tapped for that one.
That's fine. So zombie deer, not a thing.
It isn't a thing. I know. Really?
I know. It's shocking.
It is.
So
it's on the internet, so you have to believe it.
Yeah.
And your DNR, we can't believe it.
But a lot of people refer to it as, you know, zombie deer. It's chronic wasting disease.
Right.
So it's a neurological disease that's caused by a misfolded protein called a prion. And unfortunately, if a deer contracts that disease, it's 100% fatal.
Right. But rabies.
Yeah. But unlike hemorrhagic disease, where we see this rapid, big die-offs, CWD, it's a slow progressing disease. And it can take, you know, up to a year and a half, maybe upwards of 2 years from the time a deer contracts the disease to actually die.
Wow.
So it's a difficult disease for us to actually monitor because you have one deer die in the woods. What's the likelihood of someone finding that deer in time for us to actually, you know, investigate it?
And that's why you guys do the surveys at the check.
Showing your age.
The processors.
Butcher shop. Processors. Yeah, you do the surveys of the antlers and the weight and the age and all that. And I know some of those deer are probably tested for CWD.
Yeah. So every year we do a CWD surveillance across the state. I know every once in a while, every few years, we do a statewide. Last time we did a statewide surveillance was in 2022. Right now, we're kind of in this more centralized focus on those areas that we know have CWD. So that includes Allegheny, Washington, Frederick, Carroll, Baltimore, and Montgomery County. Baltimore and Montgomery counties, they were just added last year. So those were brand new detections last year.
Howard County, skip. Garrett County, skip.
So far, it hasn't been detected.
Right.
No, so we're continuing our surveillance in those areas.
And anybody wants to read about that, we can do that. So,
I do want to mention that our CWD management area did expand in response to that. So that includes those six counties that I just
and then
listed.
The deer processors in those counties have also been certified.
That's correct.
I got it. All right. Let me do this and we'll come back here in a few minutes.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range. Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn. In a
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Delaney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722. MadonnaSeafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truck Liners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market, and MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, waterman, a weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear, tree stands, tackle box, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Maryland Spray Linings. That's just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment to have your truck protected with a MilSpec liner today.
Hey, Apple Cracker Deer Feed Blocks use the supercharged flavor of apples to attract deer. And Apple Cracker Deer Feed keeps them coming back with a blend of grains, protein, and minerals. Use the blocks, or if you have a feeder, use Apple Cracker Spinoff. Dirt Digger Minerals come in three flavors. Molasses Craze, Apple Craze, and Cherry Craze flavors blended with the best combination of scents and minerals that deer crave. Apple Cracker Deer Feed and Dirt Digger Minerals are available at leading hunting retailers, hardware stores, and feed stores across the Mid-Atlantic. For a dealer locator, product information, or to become a dealer, visit applecrackerdeerfeed.com or call Stoltz Foose Mineral Supply at 484-429-3929. That's 484-429-3929, applecrackerdeerfeed.com.
It's time to practice your wing shooting and sight in your firearms. At Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range, you can do both. Located just off Route 50 in Mardella Springs, you'll find a 50-station sporting clays range and a firearms range for handgun, rifles, shotguns, and muzzleloaders with distances from 25 to 500 yards. Take Old Bradley Road to get to Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range. Inside the Delmarva Sporting Clays retail store, you can browse new and used firearms in the gun room or select your favorite ammunition. See the 10-point crossbows and tons of hunting accessories to make your day. Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range will buy or trade your firearm. If you own a collection, they're interested. Stop by Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range in Mardella Springs, open every day except Christmas. The website is dscfff.com. Call 410-742-2023 for an appointment for Sporting Clays. That's 410-742-2023 for Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a mini shell over the top of an old bird dog, and it backed a burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun.
Okay, we're back. We're back with Brian Eiler and Jonathan Trudeau, the two guys that are at the top of the food chain when it comes to the stuff we talk about here, deer hunting, bear hunting, that type of thing. Why are you shaking your head?
It's so, not a good place to be necessarily.
Not a Well, you can shoot down at them, you know, from your perch.
True,
but
very true.
Yeah, it's true. We talked about a little bit off the air about vehicle strikes. There's actually a report, you said, that comes out from the insurance company?
Yeah, so State Farm puts out a report every year.
Okay.
And I know they make it publicly available. I don't know when they do that.
Right.
But, yeah, they put it out every year. A lot of the Deer Project leaders get a chance to look at it. And,
right.
You know, over the years, we've held right around 30,000 to 35,000 deer strikes.
I got it. Well, we all know that's the reason that State Farm and the other insurance companies brought coyotes into Maryland and take care of the deer problem, right?
No problem.
And we're still killing 35,000 deer a year.
Yeah, they started with gnats with HD. That didn't work, so then they moved on to coyotes. Let's be serious. In all seriousness, coyotes came here on their own. They've been here.
Most of them walked in.
First ones were documented in the early 70s, believe it or not, 1972, and they've just slowly expanded since then. So they were never here originally. You know, a lot of species were extirpated and brought back, but coyotes were never an eastern species. They were always a western species, but they just have expanded their range to the east. So.
And when they started expanding in range to the east, they pretty much came from the north. So there's some genetic. Am I right on that? Problem?
Actually, both ways.
West and north.
North and south.
South.
Mm-hmm. Both.
North and south.
North, they mixed with wolves.
Right.
And from the south, they've mixed with the domestic dogs all around.
Right.
But from the south, even, there's probably maybe some hybridization with red wolves.
Red wolves. I've heard that before. So you. As I remember, some of the early days, there were guys killing coyotes that were 50, 60, 70 pounds in some cases. It had to, you know, I guess with the breeding now being primarily coyote to coyote rather than timber wolves, we'll probably reduce that weight a little bit. So.
They're still larger than western coyotes, and you also see the color variation, which is a result of that mixing with others. So, you might see a normal brown coyote, but you'll also see black ones.
White. And,
exactly. So, so that's just some of those genes coming out from the mixing.
That's
so,
cool. Yeah. Cool to know. All right, gentlemen, where are we going from
coyotes
here?
Coyotes do take fawns. There's no secret there. Rarely take adult deer.
Damn deer killer.
But they, coyotes don't drive our deer populations.
They don't?
Hunters drive our deer populations.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And seasons and bag limits drive our deer population.
Yeah. But kill them all anyway. I said that. No comment.
They're just another canine predator. The more of the issue with coyotes, probably from our concern, is the issues we're going to have as the populations increase with humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our urban, suburban areas. And,
true.
You know, we had a coyote attack last year.
I believe it was.
Yeah, I think it was last year we had a coyote attack. So, like I said, they're they're a part of nature. They're out there doing their thing, but we're more concerned from that standpoint.
Sure,
and that's minimal. Don't get me wrong.
I'm
not saying everybody needs to be afraid of coyotes, but as their numbers increase, we'll see more human conflicts.
Just like in bear country, you keep the food sources tucked away.
Exactly.
Keep your garbage can covered. Keep your eye on your pets. If you got chickens, you're taking your own chances with those. If they're outside the coop,
Right.
Yeah. So. Do you know the difference between a chicken coop and a – never mind.
I'm glad you said never mind.
I wasn't sure where that was going.
Why does a chicken coop only have two doors?
I don't know.
Because if it had four doors, it would be a chicken sedan.
Chicken sedan.
All right. Anyway. Let's talk a little bit
that
about –
That sounded like an Ira joke.
Yeah, it did kind of. What's next on your list there? Meshack Browning. Now, let's talk about him. He was a commercial hunter that ruined a deer and bear population in Western Maryland forever.
It's a good book.
It is a good book. Hunter Safety.
Well, yeah, we probably should cover safety.
Just a little bit. Now, the week of the 16th, we'll have the NRP on. So they're going to talk a lot about safety. We're just prior to deer season. So just a couple of reminders. We don't have to go in-depth on it. But, basically.
Basic hunter safety, it – firearm season, you got to wear your orange. That's the key there is you got to make sure you have
your minimum of hat.
Yeah, minimum of hat.
250 square inches.
Yeah, we always encourage,
hat and vest.
More is better.
Yeah.
No.
I was at a deer meeting the other night and a guy goes, do you have to have orange on your ground blind? And somebody said, yeah, it's got to be on there. It's got to be visible 360 degrees. And nobody said what size flag or anything, but it's got to be what 250 square inches.
If you're hunting from a tree stand, get out there before the season, especially if it's a fixed tree stand. Make sure that your stand's in good condition. Every year there's a instance where someone didn't check their stand and a strap breaks. It just takes one dry rotted strap for to be a really bad day.
And if you got a climb on into March and you got little cables, little stainless steel cables, that salt marsh can eat a stainless steel cable very quickly.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap to replace those. So don't be stringent. Replace anything that needs replacing.
I had a guy at camp had both cables gave way when he was in the stand. Fortunately, he was strapped in. He had a safety harness on, and he was able to get down. But man, imagine that feeling and just have the floor drop out from under you, man. You don't want that.
No. I've had it drop out on me when I was climbing on my climber. But again, that's the importance of wearing that safety harness.
That's right.
And using it correctly. The climbing the tree is when you're most likely to be injured or coming down. So making sure that you have that harness on when you're going up and down is just as important as when you're actually up in the stand hunting.
That's true. Yeah. Up and down. Well, there's all kinds of safety videos out there on the DNR website. The prussic knot, where you secure the strap to the tree, and you use that knot to climb up and down. And no matter what happens, however high you are, that you put pressure on that knot freezes up and holds you where you are. And it's all kinds of good safety stuff to learn. So.
Yeah.
Now, not so much in a like a redneck blind or something like that. you can fall off the steps, but if you are, then you probably shouldn't be out there.
No. There's a couple of rails. Yeah. I wouldn't know. I can't afford those.
I got you. So.
Yeah, no, the technology has improved so much, though. As far as the ease of use, I think probably, is the big thing. It's so easy to use this new safety gear. And like Jonathan said, getting that into the stand and getting out of the stand is actually when most of the tree stand falls happen.
Right.
It's real easy to climb up and then strap yourself in, but you've already done the most dangerous part at that point
before
you ever strapped in.
Yep.
So really you ought to have a safety line and all that you're attached to as you're going up.
Correct.
That's the number one accident in Maryland and probably just about every other state out there that hunt deer from tree stands is tree stand.
And ladder stands aren't any different than a
same thing. Right. Might be a little less risk of the stand falling out from under you, but you still have to climb up and get in it and climb out of it.
And don't haul it. Don't put your gun on your shoulder and climb up. Use a haul rope.
Use a haul rope and make sure it's unloaded. Yep.
The haul rope? My haul ropes are always unloaded.
We call it haul ropes. I don't know what. Yeah.
So. Oh, you mean your gun
the
is unloaded.
The gun is unloaded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Make sure your gun's unloaded.
I got
when
it.
When you haul yeah. it up into the stuff.
If you pull your haul rope up unloaded, you're not going to be very successful.
No, no. Yeah. Your gun's still on the ground. You're going to have to climb down.
That's something I would do.
I got in the stand one day in Cecil County, dark, raining. I'm like, why am I here? Bow hunting. Why am I here? And I'm like, oh man, it's raining. I'm not going to bow hunt. Just then, the decision was made for me. My bow fell right out, standing hit the ground. I'm like, well, I got to get down and get the bow anyway, so I may as well go. And I did. I just quit. Done. So yeah, that's the way it goes.
That was a sign.
Yeah, it was definitely a sign, no question. So, good. Firearms, we talked a little bit about that. Make sure that your firearm is sighted incorrectly because you want to be as fair as possible to the deer. Mm-hmm. Firearm safety, it goes like this. Always know where your firearm is pointed. Know your target. Not know what's behind your target. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot at a skyline deer. As much as you feel like you want to, that bullet's going to go beyond that deer even if you hit it. So deer that are skylined and nothing behind them, don't shoot. Just wait till it comes off the ridge a little bit and you'll be fine. What is it they teach you in hunter safety education course about a safety, a mechanical safety on a firearm? It's mechanical vice, subject to fail.
They can
subject fail. To fail.
Yep, subject to fail. Yeah. So review those things in your mind. You know, just be careful walking in, walking out. Watch your footfalls. The worst fall I ever had was one with my climber on my back. And those aluminum steps all hit me in the back of the head one at a time. Cling, clung, clung. Oh, man, that hurt.
I had the stirrups of mine dig into my ribs when falling with my climber on my back one time.
That's not good.
It didn't feel great.
No, no. So there's a lot of things that can keep us safe out there. You just got to stay safe and keep them in mind because you are – I mean, this, you know, even when a deer comes by, you get excited, you know, and.
Oh, yeah, you definitely do, you know. It. Yeah.
Yeah, no so, question.
That one big deep breath before and to calm yourself down can make a big difference.
You're right about that. I had a cousin borrowed my lever action 30-30 when he was coming up. I was in my teenage years, and he was just starting. His dad had him sitting there in Pennsylvania, you know. He's sitting there with my 30-30, and his dad said, here comes a buck. Where? Right over there. It's a spike. Are you ready? Yep, I'm ready. Are you ready? Yep. Get on him. Okay. You ready? Yep. Okay, go ahead. Worked that lever and threw every shell out of that gun. The deer's like, what the? What was that?
Oh, man.
That was a good one, yeah. I've heard of guys shooting trees, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Buck fever, man. It's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
That's
no
a
question.
Real thing.
No question. Buck fever, man. Buck eggy. Yeah. So yeah. With that, I think we're going to tell our folks about backyard billies right now one more time, and then we'll get out of here and get ready to do the next segment for a while. So backyard billies, you know, the Hearth America Backyard Billy is the premier safe, premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I have we had a hole in the wall fireplace. We filled that up with an EX30 Enviro EX35 fireplace. We love the remote control. Turn the heat on off whenever we want. Turn the blower on off. Turn the light on. Whatever we want to do. We just set the remote and it goes on off. Cold nights, set it, forget it. Just like your oven, Easy Bake oven or whatever it is. You just set it and forget it. Comes on, heats the room up, gets temperature done. You can get a gas insert, a wood insert, a pellet insert, even an electric insert if your HOA doesn't allow you to have any of the other three. And while you're at Backyard Billy's, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, check out the full selection of freestanding wood and pellet stoves. They also sell the pellets. And while you're there, take a look at the furniture. The savings on all the furniture right now going on until the end of November, but the main thing right now is the heat source, your primary or secondary heat source. And that's your inserts and your freestanding stoves. BackyardBillies.com. Hearth America has a Facebook page, 410-827-4500, 410-827-4500. Backyard Billies, Hearth America at Backyard Billies, open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44B Evans Avenue, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great. We'll see you all next hour.